Dukes and Cosby.
The group dedicated to fight crime.
They're gonna chase it down.
From the street perspective, Curtis Sliwa.
All of it.
Please welcome Rita Cosby.
There's a lot of heat on the president.
The headlines, the issues, the people.
America!
From New York to D.C. to your neighborhood.
The Red Berets are helping the cities in fear.
Curtis Sliwa.
Founder and president of the Guardian Angels, Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Rita, that was an explosive interview.
Live, local, on it. Curtis and Cosby.
Curtis Sliwa.
Rita Cosby.
Curtis Cosby.
77 WABC.
Seven minutes after the hour, 12 noon, as the rage against the machine continues in New York City, the battle over what to do with an inept voting system that deals with scanners and pages, some 17 inches, other 19 inches, one side, two side, the whole nine yards. We'll get into that momentarily as the head of the Board of Elections for New York City says to everyone, guess what? We're going to have the same problems in 2020. And he couldn't give a flying flip. But as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, these great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you by NJDiet.com, you see in my hand, Rita Cosby, a rarity. I am drinking a cup of coffee.
Yeah, why is that? Because I'm the coffee freak between the two of us. Why is that today?
That's right. I used to drink 68 ounces of Coca-Cola every program. I no longer do that. And so I replace that with tea. So I generally will drink hot tea.
So why coffee today?
Well, after looking at this study, the coffee can help reduce the risk of dementia, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's. Guess what? I'm drinking coffee from now on.
That is why I am so sharp and so crisp, because I drink so much coffee. I love coffee.
But remember when they used to say you drink more than two cups of coffee a day, you could have a stroke or a heart attack. It could cause all kinds of problems within your arteries and veins. And now all of a sudden it's sort of like it's going to prevent Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's.
And you can also win the lottery, too. If you drink more coffee, you are sure to win Powerball or
Mega Ball. About it later on, but I see one guy was having his Nutazza the Cafe today, reading his New York Times in the Upper West Side in his chalet. Eric Schneiderman has a lot to be thankful for.
By the way, I was ready to do a transition when you said the flying flip, because speaking of flying flips, this is the former New York State Attorney General, Eric Schneiderman, who we have talked so much about. Of course, remember, there were four women who accused him of physically abusing them when he was on these like drug and booze-fueled nights. Some of them even related to his work. And then afterwards, they said, some of them said they were in relationships, and then he definitely crossed the line, did some freaky deaky things, and also was physically abusive. Well, now it has come down in just the last few minutes. It's the Nassau County District Attorney, Madeline Singas, who was appointed the special prosecutor by the governor to look into this. She came down and said that he will not be charged criminally, Curtis.
What?
Not be charged. She said it's not because she, quote, doesn't believe the women. She basically says that the statute of limitations has run out, and because of that, she is not able to charge him. And now Schneiderman apologizing, saying he's sorry what he did. I know, boo-hoo-hoo. He right now skates. And let's see what happens with... I'm telling you, Curtis, the way freaky, weaky, wacky things happen, look what happened with Wiener. Look what happened with Anthony Wiener, where he kept going back to the crazy messages on his phone. That guy's an addict. That guy clearly has problems. He also has time and all those other things behind bars to prove it. But Schneiderman, who knows? Maybe he lives another day.
Well, Schneiderman, no doubt a utilizer of dominatrixes. He was totally into S&M.
And the, and role playing, it was this weird role playing. Like, and what's so weird, Curtis, you and I both know him. I mean, I've interviewed him many times, and he's always been kind of straight laced and always sort of prim and proper.
He would always have mascara on his eyebrows.
Yeah, that was a little weird. So that was weird.
What's up with that, Schneiderman? You got mascara on your eyebrows that were very bushy, and you could see he would like primp his eyebrows all the time. Well, he's not going to face prosecution. But he'll probably be exiled like Elliot Spitzer was, who did not face prosecution because he resigned lickety-split when he was caught having sex with a prostitute across state lines at the Mayflower Hotel in Washington, D.C., and then decided, okay, I'm not going to face the Mann Act because I'll be looking at multiple years in federal camp fed. So I'll just resign the governorship, turned it over to, at that time, Lieutenant Governor David Patterson, and you know the rest of the story.
So let's see what happens with Schneiderman now. And I'm curious to our listeners, do you think now that he has escaped charges, again, she said it's not because they're not credible. She said, I, quote, believe the women. But the time has essentially run out that we couldn't because it was so many years later, remember? And these are women who didn't know each other also, Curtis. That was what was interesting,
now, there is,
too.
There is some linkage here. And it starts with Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I. He was attorney general when Elliot Spitzer was governor.
Yes.
He wanted to be governor. He knew Elliot Spitzer could be governor for life because he just had endless amounts of money from his daddy, who was this real estate mogul. So he may have actually dropped some of the information that led to everybody following those Progresso breadcrumbs that eventually caused Elliot Spitzer to have to exit stage left. And then, if you remember, Cuomo did everything he could to disparage Governor David Patterson so that he would step out of the way and it would be Cuomo's nomination, Cuomo's alone. In this case, Schneiderman wanted to become governor.
Oh, big time. And in fact, I mean, I don't think he ever imagined it would get to this point, Curtis, because prior to this, he was pretty squeaky clean. I mean, he seemed like a guy. And in fact, he remember, just as you're pointing, he did not have a great relationship with Cuomo.
There was something personal.
There was a little rivalry there. Yeah.
Schneiderman's wife, who he divorced, became a big leader over at 1199 and all the big unions.
Yes.
She became Cuomo's girlfriend.
Yes, that's right.
You know that led to bad blood. So here it is. You got Schneiderman, who wanted to be governor, replace Cuomo. You had them basically sharing what was Schneiderman's former wife. And you know that bothers any guy, particularly if it's a guy like Cuomo who's muscling in on your action. So think about it. Could it have been that Cuomo maybe dropped some of these breadcrumbs that led to all these allegations that eventually surfaced and blew away Schneiderman in a day? He had resigned, lock, stock, and barrel.
Yeah, remember, like, it was like minutes even, Curtis,
it's
too.
It's over.
That was like the fat. Remember, it was like, I think it was right before you and I were going to air one day,
That's right.
It was like, oh, my God.
Less than 24 hours, he was toast. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. I wouldn't put it past Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo. That's 1-800-848-9222 now.
And I'm also curious, Curtis, too, will we see him relive another day, too? Because he didn't get, officially, charged, it's been looked into. And we look at Wiener, we look at all these crazy things that happened in New York politics, of all places, Curtis. I am curious, do people think that he will come back? You know, are people willing to forgive? They were willing to forgive Wiener once. Not the second time, definitely not the third time. God knows how many times he did his crazy antics. But Eric Schneiderman, would they give him one pass?
Well, let's go to the prevailing local story. As Michael Ryan, head of the embattled New York City Board of Elections, that again was completely dysfunctional and had people lined up out the doors waiting hours to vote, again insists that the primary reason that there were the breakdowns in the scanning machines and the fact that there were so many balloting issues had to do with you. You who schlepped into your voting polls in the five boroughs of the city of New York. You were all wet. You had moisture in perspiration.
Perspiration. Perspiration. That's a hard
people,
one.
People having wet clothing and perhaps ballots getting wet is contributing to that.
And now, Comrade Bill de Blasio's come out fighting because he's wanted the Board of Elections to be completely dismantled and taken out of the political process. He again started firing shots across their bow.
The Board of Elections simply can't function. It cannot do its job.
And he said, that it needs massive improvements. But listen to the little caveat he throws in here.
He has to be ready to take on a role that is more professional, more aggressive. If he has any hesitation about doing those things, he should leave. I have never encountered an organization that said no to $20 million because it required some improvements in their operations.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Yeah, that's
the
amazing.
The city of New York, through de Blasio and their budget, said, we will give you $20 million if you improve the voting apparatus because you have been a shanda u disgrazia. And this guy, Michael Ryan, said, no, we're not taking a nickel, dime, or penny.
That is shocking, because how many, you know, 99% of the battle is usually getting the funds.
Exactly.
And they're like, here it is on a silver platter.
So you figured, okay, maybe he was saving the taxpayers some money. Wrong. He was just being stubborn and listening to some of the complaints that continue to this moment about voting problems this past election day.
One of the printers, one of the scanners broke down. And then one of the next ones broke down, and then the next one broke down.
I waited in total about 2 hours and 12 minutes to vote.
And I was wondering what the heck is going on here.
Well, you have your answers, ladies and gentlemen, because Michael Ryan has come out of his bunker, his pillbox, wearing a bulletproof vest, and wants to address all of you that he blamed for the problems at the polling stations because you came in all wet. With perspiration and moisture on you that fouled up the scanning machines. Now he's claiming it was like two voters voting in one.
This is the first time that we're using a two-page center perforated ballot that had to be filled out. It was lengthy for the voters, had to be separated by the voters. And then each time a voter went to the scanner machine, it was essentially one voter was counting for two. So even with a high volume, it was essentially double the volume of paper that we would normally have in an election event of this size.
Oh, wasn't enough paper, right?
No. By the way, what a ridiculous... Of course it's going to be... I mean, that's like 1 + 1 = 2. That's the most ridiculous answer, Curtis. And I told you that my first page actually did not go through. I had to redo my first page of the two-page thing. And to me, this is the biggest hogwash, the most ridiculous issue, and the fact that he has not figured it out. And I... Look... You and I, again, we're not necessarily always complimenting de Blasio or Corey Johnson, who, by the way, is a good dancer when you see him at those parades. But the city councilman, here he is, the Democrat, saying Michael Ryan should resign. I mean, why is this guy like running like a dictatorship?
He's not committing Harry Caray. He's not going anywhere, he says, because he says the system is the system.
The system is the system. The ballots will only be processed through the scanner as quickly as they can be. The scanner works so fast. And then when you have a circumstance where we had some ballot jams and machines went down, it's like a car accident on the highway. Once the accident is cleared, it still takes time for the residual traffic delays to dissipate.
Unbelievable.
That's the most ridiculous. Of course, by the way, how could you not anticipate, especially with all the hype, that this was not going to be a high voter turnout? B, you knew it was a rainy day. That was predicted days before.
Right, but you see,
they
had already stated that they were going to have ballot defects and that they were going to have breakdowns in the machinery. That's why we took them to court, the New York State Reform Party. But he says, I don't care what de Blasio or any city officials say. It's going to be this way in 2020 for the next presidential election unless the state deals with it.
Fixes to the elections process moving forward are the province of the New York State Legislature, and whatever laws they pass and whatever rules they set that get ultimately signed into law by the governor will certainly abide by, but some of those issues must be resolved by the legislature.
So the buck doesn't stop with Michael Ryan, who is the head of the Board of Elections of the city of New York. And remember, each borough has two representatives,
right. One
Democrat, one Republican.
Now, this is a little bit of what J.C. Polanka, who was on our show, was talking about, that it has to change in Albany. He was kind of given cover to Michael Ryan.
Which means it'll never change. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you were given the opportunity to create a voting system that will avoid all of this mishigosh, these problems that he's promising all of us New York City voters we're going to have again in 2020. He says, get ready for it. You're going to have the same problems. What would you actually do to the voting process in the five boroughs? Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-WABC. 9222.
Way down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
Well, really, I finished my first cup of coffee. I never drink coffee. Because of this study, we're going to talk about it at length later. Coffee can help reduce the risk of dementia, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's. So it's out with the Lipton tea, the Tetley tea, and in with the Café. Café Bustelo, Café Opico, Maxwell House, Sanka Instant, whatever it is, it's available. I'm going to be chugging it by the gallons.
And if, you know,
if in
I
fact
love
this
it.
This is true.
You know, Curtis, I am a coffee fan. You know that.
Oh, there's no doubt.
So for me, and also, but I'm not one of those, I don't drink black coffee. I'm a little bit of a typical girl. I kind of do the futsy stuff. I'll add like a little bit. I got my little Stevia sweetener. So I have a little caramel sometimes you'll smell. Sometimes it's a little blueberry. It kind of depends on what I feel like that day. But I am not surprised that coffee is so good for us because I think it gets your juices going. It gets your blood flowing. And I'm happy. I'm thrilled. This is good news for all of us.
Well, I'm surprised that embattled Michael Ryan, head of the dysfunctional New York City Board of Elections, didn't blame coffee stains that fell on your ballots as you were trying to figure out the maze that gave you vertigo. But he blamed it on you being wet because of the rain outside, and that caused the fouling up of the scanning machinery.
People having wet clothing and perhaps ballots getting wet is contributing to that.
Bull feathers. Anyway, we've asked for remedies so that this will not happen again because he says, at this point, we're going to have the same problems in 2020. Let's go to Aldo, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Aldo.
Hi, Aldo.
Hey, Curtis and Rita. How are you guys?
We're good. What's your solution here? Do you have a solution for me and Curtis?
Well, you know, I vote in Bergen County, and it's pretty simple. You press a couple of buttons, and that's the end of it. No paper feeding. It's a simple system. Why don't they find an area in the country that has a good system that doesn't break down and everybody use the same system?
Well, Aldo, the one thing that we haven't discussed is vendors compete heavily because different parts of the country have different systems. The act that was passed by Congress that gave the money for the appropriations in 2002 so that we could avoid the problems that happened in Florida with 2000 Bush versus Gore was spent with different vendors. And my feeling is, Aldo, like everything else in New York, it is so corrupt that the vendors who ended up winning the bidding process were greasing off members of the Board of Elections.
Exactly.
Yeah, there's something. Why wouldn't you change it? Like, Aldo, here we are next door. You know, here you are in New Jersey, and you got a solution next door. Why would we not? So, hey, that works, you know?
Yeah, why doesn't everybody do it? I mean, you know. Well, you all think about it. New York, they can't get the subways to run online. Maybe run on time. Maybe that's the problem.
Yeah, well, think of it.
There's something in the water.
Right. Bureaucratic inefficiency, we agree on that, and corruption, because there's corruption galore in the construction process for the New York City subway system.
But why would
massive kickbacks.
But think about how, if now that it's kind of coming to the surface, guys, and that it's so revealed that, you know, Mike Ryan is saying, oh, it's the legislature. We, all of us, have to keep the pressure, not just on Ryan, but the legislature, to find out who's really behind this. And if somebody is being greased, that we get it out.
See, the problem
you know?
Is,
come on.
Since it's controlled by both Democrats and Republicans, they're afraid that if you open up this Pandora's box and that we the people can actually see all the political chicanery that goes on, the horse trading that they do on a regular basis in the balloting process, that we will discard it. We will say no more politicians involved in the process, outsource it to a private company, make sure that there's some independent and autonomous overseership, just like you have in accounting firms that do for major businesses, Fortune 500 companies. But they don't want to go that way because then all of a sudden all of their political cronies and appointees will be on the unemployment line.
But we have to have faith in the process, too. At the same time, we, especially last time, the fact that there were so many people whose votes, they didn't know if they even slid it in the machine after they left.
But
I mean, this is outrageous. I'm glad we had, look, Curtis, we had huge voter turnout. Thank God. That's the great thing. We had enormous voter turnout for a midterm. And we got 2020 not that far behind.
Well,
we got to get it together.
Think of it. Why would you think that the most corrupt state in New York, in America, New York, is capable of fixing the corruption that has helped lead to this debacle, this mishigash. But anyway, right now, let's get our news headlines and up. And the court case that has everyone fixated is the one that the U.S. federal government has waged against El Chapo. Pablo Shorty Guzman, and he is Shorty Short.
He's very short.
And yesterday, after dozens and dozens and dozens of jurors were seen, potential jurors, most dismissed. I'll just give you an idea, Rita Cosby, what occurred, because it was very lively in that courtroom. In fact, with a guy I know well, attorney, lead attorney for El Chapo, accepting the narco-terrorist dollars dripping with blood from the currency, is Jeffrey Lichtman, who had defended John Gotti Jr. in trial for attempting to kidnap and kill me.
You know, I was going to say, there's always like three or four of these guys who say, oh, they're totally innocent. They're just wrongly accused.
Well, he loves the narco-terrorist dollars, and he was doing his best to put his spin about how the media wants us to convict El Chapo.
Look, the thing is that the media, They want to convict them because that's the story. They want to convict them. But a jury takes these cases very seriously. They take their oaths very seriously. And I'm going to convince them and they're going to believe it because it's the right thing to do, that they are going to look at Joaquin Guzman as Joaquin Guzman, not the way he's portrayed in a Netflix, special.
Actually, Rita, the media would love a hung jury at the end of weeks and weeks of trial, because then the federal government would have to remand El Chapo to jail again.
And continue the saga.
Right, and do it round two, which means Jeffrey Lichtman would get more money of the narco-terrorist dollars. The media would love it, because now it'll be wall-to-wall coverage. Like, can you believe it? The Teflon El Chapo, Pablo Guzman, who was able to escape the long arm of the law. Is there a chance he could be the rap a second time?
You know, it's amazing when you hear, listening to Jeffrey Lichtman just now, Curtis, it triggered, it kind of all put it together, because El Chapo says all he wants is a hug from his wife. That's what he says. And what he does, it's over the bar. Like he said he would do it in the courtroom. He's not saying I want something, you know, in a jail cell or whatever. My first reaction was, and I'm curious what our listeners and yours too, my first reaction, oh, he's going to pass something. He's going to try to do something that, like, you know, it's not like he just wants to see his wife. I think there's something that he wanted to pass. But now, after hearing Jeffrey Lichtman, who you know well, and famed attorney for these kind of guys, I think he's trying to humanize El Chapo. So the jury will see him with this, oh, he's this wonderful guy who's got a beautiful wife. You know, the wife is a beauty queen and gorgeous woman. And she's going to be sitting there crying in court. And, oh, my husband, my sweet husband, he's so wrongfully accused. So I think he's now playing to the jury. And I'm curious what our listeners think. Does he deserve a hug? All he says, listen, I'm not going to escape. He's tried to a couple times. My whole objective is to just see my wife, and I haven't had physical contact in these years in solitary.
Well, I actually think he does deserve a hug.
From
when when he goes back into his cell, he's in solitary confinement.
Curtis, I knew you were going to go there.
23 hours a day when he's not on trial, he gets an hour out for rec. Is that we should put another inmate in he likes the company of men. And they could be hugging one another. They could be canoodling one another. They could be spooning one another. I'd say, no problem.
El Chapo,
just make sure that inmate that you put in with his cell has AIDS, the virus, and there's no prophylactics, because I would prefer to see him go that way.
I was going
to
say, it doesn't sound like a real loving relationship, my friend. But I do not think, Curtis, that he should get a hug. I think we should not do anything different than we do for other defendants. And if they have not done this for other defendants, because this is kind of an unusual request, because he says he hasn't had any friends in the cell, like you're talking about. So he's saying, I just deserve this contact.
He does have a friend in his cell. Well, it's called his palm, his hand. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, here are some of the jurors, potential jurors, who were dismissed and given the axe. So, for instance, one juror figured out the quickest way to get the axe off of this El Chapo jury is, as he was being questioned by both a federal assistant U.S. attorney and by Jeffrey Lichtman, he stood up and he asked El Chapo for his autograph, claiming he was a fan.
That? Oh, my God.
This is while he's being questioned. So, naturally, the judge says, get him out of here.
Yeah, X.
Next guy was tossed because he was worried he could be identified by his sandwich order, the El Chapo, while another was dismissed for being too easily identifiable as a Michael Jackson pedophile impersonator. Another six were tossed from the pool because they feared for their safety. And another guy, an ardent Trump supporter who wore the MAGA hat, was cut in the last round of jury strikes. He'd been asked previously by Jeffrey Lichtman, lead attorney for El Chapo, if he thought that El Chapo, as a Mexican man, was a bad hombre. So the Trump supporter said he didn't personally know El Chapo, so he wasn't quite sure, and that caused him to be dismissed potentially from the jury.
You know what's interesting, Curtis? The ones that were picked, because as you said, you know, it is seven women, five men. Some of them that were picked have loose sort of, you know, they describe them as left-leaning policies. Some of them feel that marijuana should be regulated, because you can see where they're going on that. The other, this is really interesting, one of them is a retired guy from the Department of Corrections. And one of them said they've never even heard of the word El Chapo. So that one, you know, was sure to get picked.
Right. Never heard of the word cartel. Never heard of El Chapo. They must have been living in a cave for all of these years. Or maybe they're just totally mashug, ubats, titched. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Let's go to Michael, who's calling from Brick in New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Mike.
Hi, Mike.
How you doing, Curtis and Rita?
What do you think of El Chapo wanting the huggo?
I think you have a terrific point here, Rita. I definitely pointed out two things. Number one, when he originally said it, everyone thought it was going to be a handoff or, you know, some sort of, you know, breaking loose out there.
Yep.
But now that you see what the lawyer is trying to portray here, trying to make him look like a humanized person, I think that he actually, unfortunately, may have accomplished a lot of that by just making the request, which means even if the jurors don't actually even see a hug, the fact that that is the one request he's walking in with, I just want to hug my wife, it comes across as a certain, oh, he's such a civil guy.
Yeah, Mike, that's brilliant. I agree with you. I think he's trying to make it look like he's going to say, oh, he's not the bad guy that right. You've seen. He's a sweet, he's a kind man, he's a father, he's lovely.
I don't even think that the lawyer thinks they're getting a hug. I don't think they want the actual hug. They wanted that to be the request on the front page.
Yeah, you're right, Mike. And just if you look at the track record of Jeffrey Lichtman, who would take money from the devil himself in order to enrich himself, when he was representing John Gotti Jr. against me in the attempted kidnapping and attempted murder of me.
Now, what year was that, Curtis? What year was that?
We're going back to 2006.
Okay, yep.
He had him dress up like Mr. Rogers. You know, he came in with a sweater. He was wearing eyeglasses. He looked like a little choir boy.
He looked like a Land's End guy.
Right. And even members of his own degenerate Gotti family didn't even recognize him after Jeffrey Lichtman got finished with him trying to turn him into a choir boy look. Yep.
Okay,
yep.
They're definitely not going to pull off a Land's End look with El Chapo.
No. He's a shorty short, so yeah. I'm sure.
He's this weak little man. Look at this man. How could this man run this big cartel? He's a kind, lover. He's so misunderstood. You see where it's going.
Let's go to Elliot, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Elliot.
Good morning, or good afternoon, guys. First of all, a hug would not be in the presence of the jury. They would not, the judge would never allow that if he granted it. But second, the Bureau of Prison Rules specify that when you go for a visit with your wife or another family member, you get a hug when you arrive, then you sit down, you get a hug when you leave, but El Chapo has a no-contact order. That's why he's not allowed to hug his wife if she visits him at the detention center.
So let me ask you, they are asking for it in court, Elliot, so you understand. This particular request says it would be over the rails, like we all see on TV. You know, we've all been in the courtrooms. You obviously have, too, where you see the railing. He said this would be in the courtroom. So should he get an exception to the no-contact? I say no.
I don't think it would hurt because it wouldn't be in the presence of the jury. He's brought in first before
Elliot,
the jury.
Elliot, you know they're going to bring that up. Any good defense attorney, and Jeffrey Luckman is a slick dude, as Curtis knows firsthand. This guy is going to say, you know what, El Chapo, you know, I know you got to hug your wife earlier before and blah, blah, blah. So tell us about, you know he's going to slide it in, Elliot. Even if they don't physically see it, there is no way in heck it's not going to get out.
But it's already in the news. They probably know about it, so it can't harm anything.
Well, that,
it's not
that,
germane to the facts of the case.
But that's why, Elliot, I actually think he should not get it, because I don't think anything that would humanize this guy and anything special, he does not deserve
this
it.
This is the problem, in that even though this jury is anonymous, they will be partially sequestered. So that means when they leave the U.S. attorney's office in the Southern District each day after jury deliberations or after hearing testimony, they'll be put on a jitney, and then they'll be dropped off at different locations. There is nothing that prevents somebody from tailing that vehicle. This is what John Gotti Sr. and Sammy the Bull Gravano used to do, so that eventually they were able to fix 3 out of 4 juries that John Gotti Sr. appeared in front of. They followed the jurors.
You know what? I'm shocked. Curtis, can I ask you to that point?
Yes.
I was really surprised when I saw that it was a partial sequester, because you suddenly find out that you're on a trial. It is a major drug trial. Talk about the, you know, the Sinaloa, head of the Sinaloa gang, leadership cartel. And that's what you're doing, and you're only partially sequestered. I was actually shocked.
Yeah, because they'll be easy to follow the rest of the way to their homes. But this is what Jeffrey Luckman had to say. Believe it or not, he had the culions, the huepos, to say there's no evidence.
I haven't seen the evidence. There's a protective order. You haven't seen the evidence. This is the problem with the media, is that they just assume because of his name, oh, the evidence is overwhelming. Well, you know what? 12 years ago, or 13 years ago, when John Gotti was indicted, I was hearing the same thing. Mm. Oh, you can't win this case. Lawyers were telling me you have no chance. He's dead. Well, you know what? Then what does he need a lawyer for?
To get paid handsomely. That's what the attorney wants, to get paid these narco-terrorist dollars that have been salted away. Let's go to Tommy in New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Tommy.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. You know, I think they should basically take all of the victims of El Chapo and line them up and let them all give him a hug.
a permanent hug, right?
Yeah.
You know, I'm...
This guy, you know, how many people did he murder? How much death and destruction was that, you know, his hands or his instructions? And he's complaining he can't get a hug?
Well, that's exactly, Tommy, that's why I think clearly he is trying to make it look like he's a loving husband, loving guy.
This is what he's going to say. He's going to say this, Tommy, in open court. He's going to say, hugs instead of drugs. Hugs instead of drugs.
Somebody already said that.
And yeah. I say slugs. Slugs.
1-800.
Give them a slug.
848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
And by the way, on our Twitter page, we're going to have in a few seconds, we're going to put up a hot vote, because a lot of you are passionate about this. Does El Chapo deserve a hug? Does he deserve something else that Curtis suggested? Yes or no? Go to Curtis and Cosby, our Twitter page. We want to hear from you and hear your vote on this.
Up next, Jeff Sessions gets axed. How long before the president goes to sack Mueller? And, oh, yeah, the press corps and the president at it again. It's sort of like WrestleMania. Round two, three, four, or more. We'll get into all of that with Curtis and Rita here on WABC.
WABC 107 here on 77 WABC. I love Leonard Skinner, and it looks like Jeff Sessions is headed home to Alabama. And guess who may be replacing him as Attorney General? There is so much buzz that Chris Christie is in the running. He's at the White House apparently right now. And I actually think Chris Christie is a great choice for Attorney General. I sort of always thought he would be the choice originally. Again, Jeff Sessions, very loyal. But then the whole Bridgegate thing happened, Curtis, and that kind of changed the dynamics for Chris Christie. He had a little bit of a falling out, the whole thing with Jared Kushner. But now enough time has passed, and there's very strongly a good chance, I think, that Chris Christie will be the guy to replace Jeff Sessions. And I'm curious what our callers think. Do you think that, as you call him, Shamu El Jefe. Where's our little Shamu sound? There it is. I knew it was coming. Do you think that he's a good replacement for Jeff Sessions? To talk about sort of night and day in terms of personalities. But I actually think, Curtis, he's a good choice because he's very much sort of like Trump. And he's a prosecutor. He's got that experience. He's got the chops.
Problem is that he'd have to get through a confirmation a session that would be very heated, very adversarial, very confrontational. And I don't necessarily feel, if you were Donald Trump, that he's all that loyal to you, because he's flipped the script a few times on Donald Trump. So I think Donald Trump is hunkered down there. Now, he's ready for war. He has an option now that he has a loyalist, the assistant attorney general in office, who is pro-Trump, anti-Mueller. Do I whack Mueller? Do I take him out? Is it a Saturday night massacre and let's see where the pieces fall? Or do I go with a new attorney general and hope he or she will guide me through this process? So obviously the president has his options, and he knows the House, as soon as they get sworn in with the majority, they're going to be coming at him with subpoenas left, right, every which way, now that they will have the subpoena power, now that they will be the chairman and chairwomen of those presiding committees, and Nancy Pelosi is licking a chop. So he's basically said, I know this game better than you. You come after me, I come after you. Touche.
Well, that's why I think, Curtis, he needs a pit bull. Whoever is going to be in that position, he needs a fighter. And now that he sees what happened, as you said, with the House, he felt that, you know, Jeff Sessions was way too docile. By the way, in the last 24 hours, the pot stocks, not only in Canada, but in the U.S. and elsewhere, soared. Because, of course, the only place where Jeff Sessions was really tough was on, you know, marijuana.
Right.
So the marijuana companies are happy about that.
But almost as tough on marijuana, as we've heard, is Shamu El Jefe, Chris Christie. So again.
Yeah, but that's not what Trump is basing it on. Trump wants someone who's going to go in there and sock it to him, because he feels, not to him, but to Mueller and the others and anything the House has coming, because he feels like it is war. It's going to be war, and he sees it for the next 2 years, and he needs a warrior on his side.
Well, he needs someone who would be willing to fire Mueller. I don't know if that's Chris Christie.
Well, first he's got to get rid of Rod Rosenstein, because Rod Rosenstein, who's the number two there, has been the one who was, you know, sort of assuaging with Mueller. So there's a lot of, like, pieces to the puzzle first.
Rosenstein has no oversight any longer of the Russian investigation headed by Mueller and his team. It's the assistant attorney general. I'll call him Lurch. He's like 6'10".
Yeah,
he looks like Lurch.
Matt Whitaker, who's actually fairly well known. I mean, he's been out there and kind of like taking the pro-Trump stance. And that's why a number of people, like Joe Manchin, Democrat, a number of other people have come out swinging. In fact, this is what Bernie Sanders had to say about the firing of Sessions and his fear of what's ahead with Mueller.
I hope very much that Trump does not believe that by firing Sessions today that he is going to interfere with that investigation. Because if he does, that's a very serious offense. That has to do with obstruction of justice, which I personally believe is an impeachable offense.
And the president probably has figured out, sure, the Democrats can impeach me, but they impeached Clinton, the House, when he was the president. Yep. The Senate did not find him guilty.
Yeah, impeached but not removed.
Right. And so, hey, I can continue on. You want to wound me? Fine. I'll wear it as a badge of courage. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC as we're high atop Madison Square Garden and these great facilities provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com. Let's go right to the phones. It's David calling from Hoboken. Welcome to WABC, Dave.
Hi, Dave.
Good afternoon, guys, on this lovely day. Trump has asked for a 5% across-the-board reduction in budgets, and I was wondering if that includes Chris Christie's lunch and dinner expenses.
Oh, David, our first call. Touche, baby. By the way, that might be a big expense. That might be 5%, could be like $500.
Wow.
You know, if you.
Right. Wow. You're right. And no seconds.
You're bad.
Remember, whereas the president always offers seconds to his guests and others, there would be no offering of second dibs to Shamua El Jefe Chris Christie. Let's go to Paulie, who's calling from New Jersey. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Paulie.
Hi, Paul.
Yeah. Hi, Curtis and Rita.
Hello, Paul.
I called him when Trump first got inaugurated. I said he's going to make Christie AG because he was with him from the start.
No, you're right. But you remember, Paul, the problem was there was this pivotal moment, and this is where the falling out happened. Remember when that whole tape happened, Paul, the Access Hollywood tape happened, and people thought, okay, there are a lot of people on the Trump team that were kind of abandoning ship. And there was a famous moment, it's been written about in a couple books, and they said, hey, Christie, are you coming on the plane with us for the rally, or are you staying back? And it was reported that Christie stayed back. And that at that moment, Trump was basically very upset. But now, look, it's, you know, it's some time has passed. Is it forgiven? That's the question,
well,
Paul.
Well, the problem is, oh, you can't do that. Oh, no, my daddy.
Is that your impression of Jared Kushner?
That's right. My father, Chris Christie, put him in jail. He put him in jail, and he wouldn't allow him to have any parole. No, you can't do that. Donald, I'm your son-in-law. Me, the guy who's dealing with the Middle East. We're dealing with Saudi Arabia, dealing with Israel. You can't do that. No, daddy. Don't.
That is another thing you got to overcome, but I also think that they know they need a fighter. And there is no question. I mean, if you think about, I mean, there's few people who I think really are pit bulls that sort of fit that Trump style. And Chris Christie is one of them.
Yeah, but who is he going to fight? Is he going to fight Mueller and
Sack
him?
Well, he's going to have to probably fight a lot of directions. But he is also qualified. If you look at his background, he is definitely qualified for this position. So I actually think it's a good choice. The question is, what is Jared Kushner saying?
No, what are the others saying?
Right. I'm sure there's a lot of voices in his head like that one.
Let's go to Joe, who's calling from Stony Brook. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Giuseppe.
Hi, Curtis and Rita. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. I'm looking at it from a different direction. He's not looking to fire Mueller. He's looking to set up an independent counsel against Hillary and the FBI and start targeting Democrats.
Oh, that would be, by the way, he has said, listen, you bring it on, I can fight that game too. Maybe that would actually be very interesting if he did that. That would be a fascinating, I mean, you know, there are a lot of people who've said do it. And he kind of said, I'm not going to go there when he was inaugurated, but maybe now it is 2 years later. That would be a fascinating
trick. Yeah, but
Joe,
what does that do about the Mueller investigation? Nothing, because he's already done most of his work. So that's what this appointment would have to do to try to stop Mueller in his tracks. And quite frankly, I think Chris Christie would be the wrong person. You bring him on, you have a fight in the Senate right away. They could take months for him to be confirmed.
I like Chris Christie. For given where I just think where the president's mindset is, I always thought Chris Christie would be the right person for
AG. Think you're going to need a negotiator here, not a fighter. Or Chris Christie would never get confirmed.
He can't have a wussy attorney general right now. He needs a pit bull.
Let's go to Don, who's calling from America. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Donnie?
Hi, Curtis and Rita. How are you doing today? Listen, just like the Rocky movie, let's get ready to rumble.
Yes.
He finally got rid of that trade of Sessions. Now, like you said, he's got a pit bull in his corner. So
yeah,
you want to come after me, I'm coming after you. You want to investigate me? How about we investigate you, too? Especially Feinstein with the Chinese spy she had as a driver.
All right, so let's say you do that. You think anybody cares about Feinstein compared to the President of the United States? I mean, really, Don?
No, but if they want to come
back... that was your answer. No, nobody. All that is clutter. It still doesn't impact Mueller, who's already where he needs to be. So the president realizes it's either pull the trigger on him now and get rid of him. And in order to do that, you have to have an attorney general. Because if he tries to do it with the assistant attorney general now, this Lurch guy, all hell is going to break loose.
You mean the bald Lurch?
Oh, he looks like Lurch.
By the way, he looks like a bodyguard. He's huge. He is huge.
All right, let's go to Bobby, who's calling from Yorktown. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Bobby.
Curtis, Rita, how are you today?
We're good. What do you think of Chris Christie maybe there?
Listen, I'll tell you the God's honest truth right now, over the last couple of weeks, this is my viewpoint. I wish every single congressman, every senator, every cabinet member, the president, I wish they could just everybody get out and we put everybody in. Because here's the problem I'm seeing. I don't hear anybody up there talking about the country. I don't hear them talking about $3 a gallon of gas. I don't hear them talking about the incredible taxes we pay here in Westchester. I don't hear them talk about foreign affairs. All they talk about are how the Republicans can screw the Democrats and the Democrats can screw the Republicans.
Hey, Rob, do you want to, you know what? I have some sad news for you. And I agree with you because I think we need to be talking more about the issues. But
believe me, we need to fix roads. We need to fix bridges. And all they keep doing is just taxing us, and then screwing each other.
Well, guess what?
Millions and millions of dollars to get elected. And then they don't do anything. It's a disgrace.
Rob, I'm with you. You know, the problem is it's going to get worse, sadly, because now that you have a Democratic House, that is, we were just talking here with Curtis, that now they have the ability, it's going to be worse.
Yeah, but can you imagine, Rob, can you imagine, we have not heard anything from Mueller. He has remained quiet. If he gets sacked, immediately he gets subpoenaed by the House. He goes before them. We'll all hear him. He's far more impressive than Comey was. And remember, he was a registered Republican, a war hero in Vietnam.
Yeah, and he doesn't have any friends, journalists, that he's going to leak everything to,
but
like Comey did.
He's got stellar credentials. So if he speaks to the nation, look out. That will not be good for Team Trump at all. So
see,
I don't think Team Trump wants that.
And I don't think, Curtis, I don't know if he's going to fire him, but I think by having a Chris Christie definitely sends a signal, or someone with that fight says we're ready for bear, not just Mueller, but actually the House too.
All right. So remember, they can tie that up in the Senate forever. You got to get somebody confirmed. That's the bottom line.
Yeah, but you got to have a fighter too. He doesn't want to have a wuss ball in there either.
That's really helped him, Rudy Giuliani, the fighter.
Well,
there, right?
That's why there's a difference.
Rudy, half in the bag. Rudy's really helped him, right?
Well, that's why I would not pick Rudy for that reason.
But
that's why
people would have.
I'd pick Chris Christie. After the way Rudy has defended him in the last few months all over the place,
Rudy never abandoned him like Chris Christie did after the Bush tapes were released. Rudy was the only one out there publicly defending him. But look, you have a loyalist like Rudy, a definite pit bull, attack dog, has made this case even worse for Donald Trump and his minions.
But that's because Rudy has been all over the place, whereas Chris Christie is a little more clear, I think, in his interviews.
I wouldn't trust Christie. I'm not a pound, not 10 pounds, not 20 pounds. He stuck shivs in Trump's back before. 1-800-848-WABC. And let's go right, if we can, to Larry, who's Larry in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Larry.
Hey, Curtis, I read it. I want to submit a long shot, similar to the horse Barbaro. Remember Barbaro, Curtis?
Oh, sure.
And that person is Laura Ingraham. Laura Ingraham has a beautiful...
Would never even get to the floor for consideration. Larry, you got to have a consensus. You got to get votes to get the attorney general confirmed.
Well, if she will pass muster and get confirmed. She has a history. She worked with Clarence Thomas. She's a fighter. And I think she'd be a good fit.
Oh, my God. A person from Talk TV would never happen with all the animus that exists between Fox News Channel and CNN and MSNBC.
That would be hard to be confirmed, but I do. Laura,
you might as
listen,
well,
Laura's
you
a
might
good
as well
attorney,
nominate
though.
Nominate Jeanine Pirro, right?
But Laura is a smart woman.
Could
She's a smart attorney.
Pass muster.
It would not pass muster. But the idea of it being someone from media is not out of the out of the realm.
Please,
I'm just look, Curtis. Look. Heather Nauert.
Right.
Heather Nauert is State Department spokesman now,
that.
You know, headed towards the U.N.
She's
ambassadorship.
No, Laura Ingram.
No, but she is someone from the media world.
No, Laura
yeah,
Ingram
I'm just saying.
Is a bomb thrower. You can't expect her.
I like Laura's fight.
You
She's
might
good.
Like her. You might like Jeanine Pirro, but you're talking about getting somebody.
I do. They're
somebody.
Both fighters.
If you believe in defending Donald Trump and protecting him, you can't have a bomb thrower in there.
I think a Chris Christie is actually a good choice because he's not a talk show. Show like that. He doesn't have that, but he does have the chops.
Yeah,
look,
he's got Bridgegate. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Giuseppe.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good. What do you think, Joe?
Well, I don't agree with you with Christie because I don't think he will get the votes that are needed because of Bridgegate, because of him being a big beach whale down the shore.
He has a big beach. What does his size have to do with him getting confirmed or not?
It's nothing to do with his size. Nothing to do with his size. It's what he holds with that whole stunt.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time hearing you because the whale's going through the ocean.
No. You ain't getting Chris Christie. Anyway,
yeah,
let's go.
His size.
Yeah, bad. It's bad for the optics.
Wait. You know what? Despite the size, you guys, Chris Christie has a lot of energy. He's a fighter. He's a pit bull.
Yeah,
he's the choice.
He'll fight his way to the front of the line and get to Big Macs and the quarter pounders with cheese. Let's go to Giuseppe
Newberg.
You
are so bad.
Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Giuseppe.
Hey, thanks, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So real quick, suggested Rudy Giuliani, of course, for Attorney General, and then also FBI Director. Jimmy Kallstrom.
Oh, yeah.
No nonsense, professional people.
Yeah, so let me get this straight.
Oh, no.
Rudy, you guys, you want to protect Trump, and what do you come up with? Christie, Laura Ingram, Rudy Giuliani. They'll never get confirmed. What, do you live in a fantasy baseball world?
Curtis. Why do you hate Trump so much? I'm
me?
So baffled by that.
You must hate Trump.
Bad-mouthing him.
Let me ask you a question.
I believe.
Do you think? Joe, answer me this question. Do you believe that Rudy Giuliani could get confirmed before the United States Senate to become the next Attorney General?
Yes.
Well, you are in a drug-induced psychosis, pal.
Curtis, I will defend you on that one because I don't think he would get through.
Do you realize how close the confirmation vote was for Jeff Sessions, who everyone loved in the Senate? They loved their colleague.
Because he met with the Russian ambassador, whereas I actually think Chris Christie... I think Chris Christie could get through, and I think he's a good choice.
Yeah. Shamu El Jefe.
You just don't like his weight. I like his background.
No, I don't like his mouth.
I like his fight.
I like the fight. He's a traitor. He stuck the shiv into Trump twice, and it would do it again. Anyway, right now, let's get our news headlines and updates.
138 here on 77 WABC, the old circus theme, because boy, has it become a circus, these news conferences with President Trump. And it's just exploding. Everybody is talking about, he did, you know, the news conference yesterday, talking, of course, about the midterms and everything else. But what people are really focused on is this unbelievable exchange with Jim Acosta, the CNN White House correspondent. And now Jim, in the last few hours, has had his press pass suspended by the White House because the White House has to approve. There's a White House press pass that you have to get approved to be able to enter the White House. It has been temporarily suspended. So the White House is firing back after this exchange where they said that Jim Acosta just would not shut up when he was asking questions of the president. But boy, did it get nasty on both sides.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign in the midterms.
Here we go.
That this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
Why did you characterize it as such?
I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process. And I want people to come in, and we need the people. You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so on.
Well,
that's true.
They
weren't actors.
They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN. All right. And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
If I may ask one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation? Mr. President.
I'll tell you what. CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN. Go ahead.
I think that's unfair.
You're a very rude person. The way you treat Sarah Huckabee is horrible. And the way you treat other people are horrible. You shouldn't treat people that way. Go ahead.
In Jim's defense, I've traveled with him and watched him. He's a diligent reporter who busts.
Well, I'm not a big fan of yours either. So
I understand.
To be honest,
that was Peter Alexander, NBC, trying to come to the aid of Jim Acosta at the end. And in the last few minutes, we're just learning that Tucker Carlson's house, sort of almost as payback, some people are putting the two together, saying that what happened to Acosta, now the left is going after right-wing journalists that they perceive. And here's some chanting, and I think it's just getting way too hot between people's opinion of the media, the president, the whole thing. Here's what was happening, Curtis. This is just in the last little bit. Outside of Tucker Carlson's home, he wasn't even there. His wife was alone at the house, and this is what she heard outside.
You know where you sleep at night.
Tucker Carlson will fight. We know where you sleep at night, putting up his address all over the place. Apparently, this huge crowd gathered outside his home and said, you know, we're going after you guys. If some side is going after CNN, well, we're going to go after Fox.
I couldn't care about the media.
Well, you know what?
They're all making millions of dollars.
They're
all up there standing there, grandstanding. Tucker Carlson, this guy from CNN, they're all there. The president is disgraceful. The media is disgraceful. They're all disgraceful. They all deserve one another because all they want to do is throw mud back and forth. They love this. And Tucker Carlson will come on tonight and devote his whole program to what a victim he is instead of discussing the issues of the day.
See,
it's
Tucker Carlson doesn't want protesters outside his house when his wife's by herself.
Are you kidding?
I don't think so.
They wonder, how come a bomb wasn't sent to me, the Democratic senators? I was hoping a bomb would be sent to me. Are you kidding? This ratchets it up for them.
I don't think Tucker Carlson wants it where
he
lives.
They want to be vilified. They love this. Being reporters and journalists and a president being a president, this is WWE now. This might as well be Vince McMahon Jr. in the center of the ring. In one corner, you have the president. The other corner, CNN. The other corner, we have Tucker Carlson. The other corner, MSNBC. Deserve one another.
I agree that there is a back and forth because, believe me, and I'll tell you, as someone who has been there asking the questions of a president, and including having interviewed Trump many times, but sitting there in that, I have never seen such utter disrespect for the presidency in terms of the questions.
I've never seen such utter disrespect by a president for the media.
I don't like the back and forth.
It's a two-way street.
I was about to say that. I don't like the back and forth. I don't like the nastiness on either side.
They deserve one another.
But there's a difference between going to someone's house. I think fair questions, hard questions of any president are fair, but I think if the president's answered it, you don't keep going and going and going. There's a decorum, and you're right, it should be on both sides.
And the president takes shots to the media every 5 seconds. So it's a cabal. They deserve one another.
Let's go to the calls and see what everybody thinks. It's 1-800-848-9222. 1-800-848-9222.
Welcome to WABC, Eddie.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Rita. How you doing?
We're good. We're fired up. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm kind of fired up, too, watching the sleazeball yesterday. I mean, I got a solution for President Trump, and it's a very simple solution. Shouldn't have revoked his press pass. Let him come. Let everybody ask questions. Let everybody say what they have to say. And not acknowledge this guy once like he don't exist. That would be the greatest medicine in the world.
And by the way, there have been White Houses that do that.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He looks for the fight. Eddie, the president wants to acknowledge him. He wants to rumble. Don't you understand that, Eddie?
Yeah, I do. I do understand that he wants to rumble. But, I mean, Curtis, look at it this way. If you went to some place and you had something to say and you had to keep saying it and you had to keep saying it, and nobody acknowledged you, how would you feel about
that? No, you're right. Eddie, you're right. Silence, Eddie, silence would be. Eddie, actually, Eddie's brilliant.
Silence is you turn off the guy's microphone. The technology is you don't have to have a woman come up there and grab the microphone away as if it's a wrestling match. You just turn it off. The president's microphone will remain on. He's still in control. Acosta, you say, if you don't stop with turning your microphone off, boom, and technologically you turn it off.
Yeah, but then you got that CNN's microphone. That's not the White House microphone. They got to find the CNN link.
That's right, and they can do that.
You know, it's not like that easy.
Our government can't do that?
What are you going to bring, like a pair of scissors and chop it?
You give them a certain amount of time, and you say, hey, that's it. Time allotted. Off to the next correspondent.
And by the way, here I will give the president kudos because he answers those questions. Can I tell you how many times, and as someone who has been there, believe me, I was at Fox News covering Clinton, and there were a lot of times he was not happy. He was happy to see a blonde woman and answer questions. But the minute he knew I was Fox, it was like, oh, I'm not going to answer Fox's questions. So I will give the president credit for answering tough questions.
Is anyone out there not a sucker to know this is all a game?
Oh, he loves it.
They all love it. The reporters love it.
Absolutely.
Because now they are the focus of everyone's attention instead of dealing with issues.
But it's not that orchestrated. I actually do think the president, I will give him credit, that he actually takes CNN and other people's questions.
Why?
Yes, he likes it, but he also... There are a lot of presidents who don't.
Yeah, but explain, Rita, why he goes to them first. He goes to them first because he wants to rumble.
He doesn't go to them first. He goes to them sometimes.
Admit it. He doesn't want peace and tranquility. He doesn't want a straight Q&A. He wants a fight.
He's always looking to fight. But one thing that you got to give this president kudos for is that he does give access to the media. There are a lot of other presidents. Obama wouldn't even call
it's
on
great,
conservative
media. It's a great
media.
Soap opera. It's a great novella.
No,
and guess what?
Nothing gets resolved. It's also called being fair, and you won't give him credit for that.
Oh, fair. Get out of here. Fair.
You won't give
fair
him credit
and balanced like Fox News. So
right.
Let's go to Tom.
At least he gives him
access.
Let's
go to Tom.
Obama would never even have Fox in the ring, and that is a shame on them.
Yes, Tom.
Go ahead, Tom.
Agree with you, Curtis.
Go ahead, Tom.
I have to disagree with Curtis today.
Welcome to my world, baby.
And then I watched it 6 times. The reporter, basically, he asked his question, and then he just started making statements, and he baited the president. He got what he wanted. He grandstanded. I think he wanted the president to have him removed from the room. Maybe that would have became next. I mean, he got what he wanted, Cox.
All right. He got what he wanted. What's that? You're right. He got what he wanted, which means he's going to be now interviewed as a correspondent on the late night shows. And Trump got what he wanted, taking on the media. So who benefits from that, Tom?
Right now, I would say the White House does.
No, nobody benefits because it looks like a circus. It looks like a circus.
Somebody had to put a stop to it. They had
you
to think,
well,
Costner.
You think they put a stop to it? You don't think this is going to continue?
I seen it. He did put his hand on her.
All right, so have him arrested.
Well, maybe that'll be next if she wants it. If she
wants to go forward. It's a game, Tom. Why are you all suckers
Dennis,
to this?
Dennis, I understand. Dennis, I've been listening to you for a lot of years.
Yeah, so but don't get suckered by either side.
I understand.
Now, watch. I guarantee you all the rest of the day, Michael Savage, who follows, Shapiro, Levin, that's all they're going to talk about. The media, a guy Costa, I never knew before who this guy was.
He's well known. He's
a person of no consequence.
He's not.
Compared to the president of the United States.
Nobody is as big as the president.
Right, but the point is, did they deal with substantial issues? The answer is no. It was all theater. And we all get sucked into it, taking sides, the stupid people that we all are, instead of saying, stop acting like kids. Knock this stuff off. Act like adults. Ask a question. Give an answer. Move on to the next person.
Wait. You're lecturing us on a circus? That's a new one. Let's go to Jeff from Freehold. Jeff, you're here with Rita and Curtis. Go ahead, Jeff.
Curtis, you're right on the money. Do you remember a few weeks ago when Whoopi and Jeanine Pirro got into a fracas on The View?
Yeah, I remember that moment well.
Now that show is taped, right? Do you know that TMZ was at the stage door as soon as Jeanine Pirro left The View that night, that afternoon?
Of course, it's all staged by both sides, Jeff. It's like wrestling.
You know that Vince McMahon and Trump are very good friends.
Oh, yeah.
So this is some grand... Jeff, you know what? Can I tell you one thing? I agree with Curtis, the part that both sides kind of get their chops in. That's for sure. But this is not like Jim Acosta's like, hey, you know what, Trump? Ask this question, or I'm going to ask this question. You keep interrupting me. This is good for me. This is good for you. But believe me, that orchestration ain't happening.
This is all theater. He's not a journalist. He's a performer now. And the president is doing stand-up when he's with the reporters. So, come on.
He's genuinely
He's not being
outraged.
Presidential. And Acosta and the other reporters are not being reporters. They're being performers who then get interviewed about their performance that day in front of the president or the person who's holding the press conference
See,
that day.
I think there is clearly bad blood between both sides,
right,
and
so
they both took it to the extreme. It's not an orchestrated effort.
Nothing good came out of it. 1-800-848-WABC.
I don't have any reason, left them all behind. I'm in a New York state of mind.
7 minutes after the hour or two. I hope this doesn't mean that Bugaboo Eyes is having another concert, Billy Joel, down at Madison Square Garden's monthly concerts. Which enriches him and his very dear Kumbadi Cheech, Jimmy the Dullard Dolan. But anyway, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden here and the great facilities provided to us in order to do this broadcast to all of you, ladies and gentlemen, Jeff Bezos, the world's richest man, a billionaire many times over now, has just completed his USA tour of all the cities and communities that he has wanted to bribe him and Amazon to set up their new headquarters at. So he has sat almost like as if he was Jesus Christ in the manger.
And people are treating him like he's Jesus Christ too, Curtis.
Right, and bringing him tribute, gold, tax dollars, frankincense.
Myrrh. You left out myrrh.
Right. Anything and everything because he considers himself king of the world. And he has pitted cities and communities against one another for what he said he wanted to be his American headquarters, you know, other than Seattle. Except now, he's gotten so many bribe offers that he's decided to split the baby like Solomon in two. So instead of one other headquarters somewhere else in America other than in Seattle, there will now be two. And just a few weeks ago, in the midst of his campaign to unfortunately become a hemorrhoid to us for another 4 years, Andrew Evil Eyes Cuomo, King Cuomo II, the son of Mario Faccia Brutta Cuomo, King Cuomo I, chimed in after sitting with Jeff Bezos and his minions, promising millions and millions and millions of subsidies to the world's richest man, and then throwing this in to sweeten the deal.
Anything else I can think of that'll get us over the top, anything they want named Amazon, I'll change my name to Amazon Cuomo if that's what it takes.
He would, because he's a whore.
You know who should change his name to Amazon is the guy who's the number two, Jeff Sessions guy now, the big guy.
You mean Lurch?
He could be Amazon.
But what's interesting is that the governor seriously said, in addition to the millions of dollars that we would give to you, Jeff Bezos, world's richest man, and your company, one of the richest Fortune 500 companies in the world, to bribe you to come here to Long Island City, we will change the name of Newtown Creek to Amazon Creek. And I would say a pox on Amazon, because that is one of the most polluted tributaries in America. If you light a match and throw it into Newtown Creek, it'll probably consume us all in flames.
By the way, as soon as I heard that, I thought the same thing too. I'm like, that's like an insult. That's like, we're going to call the toilet water the Rita Cosby River. I'd be very upset.
Well, this is what some of the Long Island City residents have to say. They're not rolling out the red carpet for the billionaire Jeff Bezos or Amazon.
The rent here, if you can afford to rent here, you can afford Amazon.
Yeah, and then the councilman, the shorty short, Jimmy Van Bramer.
If Amazon were to come, we'd be talking about a whole other ball game when it comes to what we need to be able to actually make that work.
To another resident who said, gee, if Amazon sets up with their half headquarters, that's what they're calling it now, half here and half in Leave It to Beaverland, someplace called Crystal City, Virginia.
I know where Crystal City is. I spent a lot of time in Crystal City because when I worked in New York, in Washington, I covered a lot of Crystal. It's right by the airport, by the way. It's right by, physically right by the Reagan Airport. And it makes sense. I actually think I understand the issues if they're not prepared or whatever, but think about 25,000 they're thinking, or 20 at one place, 30 at the other. It's a lot of jobs in both locations. And if we could get that kind of amount of jobs in Long Island City, I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. Meantime, we give away millions of dollars of tax dollars to the world's richest corporation and the world's richest pig, Hazarai, with his beak in the trough constantly, Jeff Bezos. How many of you out there believe that Cuomo is right to offer millions in subsidies and changing the name of the Newtown Creek to Amazon Creek? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. And then there's a situation with people in Long Island City who are already paying way too much rent. They say if you let Amazon set up stock here, the rents will simply be way too high to pay.
Kind of worry my rent gonna increase, you know, because I live in the building like right in the corner.
Yeah.
Now, by the way, that I think is a genuine. I think there is something about luring in Amazon. I do think, as much as I'm frustrated with the way they've taken over the moms and pop shops, but I do think there's the having the cachet in our backyard is a good thing, Curtis. But I do think they should give some incentives to the people living there, because it's going to mean traffic.
Well, first off,
and I don't like the idea of increased rents as a result, because, you know, Amazon's going to be ka-ching, ka-ching,
first
ka-ching.
Off, why would Amazon be setting up where the subway system doesn't work? 7 train doesn't work. The E and the F
so
train doesn't work.
That's why I'm saying maybe they can make some infrastructure investment. Maybe there's something.
Wait. Why would they make any infrastructure investment when we're suckers to give them millions of dollars?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm saying there needs to be give and take, not just take.
But they won't be asked to provide a fixed subway system. They won't.
Well, that's where the shame is on Cuomo, for not trying to get something in return.
How are these trucks going to get in and out of Long Island City? Traffic is already a nightmare. You know what this is? This is a game to ratchet up more money, because the community board will never say yes. This will be tied up in courts for months. Jeff Bezos will now go to Roz Baraka, the pimp of Newark, mm-hmm. The mayor there, who's already sold his city out to get Amazon there, and he'll say, hey, look at what Cuomo's mm-hmm. ready to give me. Look at all this money to Cuomo. What are you and Murphy going to give me to set up in Essex County there and in Newark? Because while mm-hmm. it's in court in New York, he ratchets it up, and now he makes even more millions of dollars.
But what kind of a creek could he get in Newark?
Oh, well, let's say the Passaic River, where there are dead bodies that flow by. Right? Or, maybe rename the Bayonne Bridge, right? The Amazon Bridge or the Passaic, the Amazon River.
The Amazono. It could be just like the Verrazano. The Amazono.
Let's go to Johnny, who's calling from, Mike, who's calling from New York. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here at WABC. Mike?
Hey, Curtis, Rita, how are you guys doing today?
Good. What do you think, Mike?
Well, I grew up in Greenpoint, and my grandfather used to dive off the Greenpoint Avenue Bridge into the creek.
He used to dive off of the Greenpoint Avenue Bridge, which connects Queens and Brooklyn and
into
Greenpoint.
Into creek?
Right into Newtown Creek.
Yeah, and now I think if you take a good running start, you could probably make it across in one shot.
Oh, I was about to say, oh, my God, boy, have times changed. Oh, my gosh.
It's like a rolling mass of jelly now.
Exactly. Oh. So that's what I'm saying. Light a match, and if you were to throw it on a Newtown Creek, boom, it would blow us all to kingdom come.
I'm wondering if Mike's grandfather got any strange diseases that he passed on.
He's probably wearing a bulletproof body condom at that time. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's go to Giuseppe. Joey calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, guys. I believe that they shouldn't get any tax breaks. I don't understand. How can the government give certain people tax breaks and not tax breaks to others?
Well, and that's a good point. That's a good point. But, you know, that happens all the time, Joe. You know that.
But isn't that against the law?
Well, it's not against the law. It's just, you know, it's certainly currying favor.
Now, Joe, remember, this is a quid pro quo. Who's going to be running for the Democratic nomination to become the next president, Joe?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think anybody...
If you looked at his acceptance speech the other night, Andrew Evilize Cuomo, he didn't even mention Molinaro, who he ran against. He was just attacking Trump. So he helps Amazon, Jeff Bezos, and that billionaire pig that he is with all of his friends.
Wait, which one, Cuomo or Bezos?
Well, both of them.
All right, that's what I wanted to clarify.
And then obviously the quid pro quo is that Bezos opens up his checkbook and his friends' checkbooks and helps Team Cuomo try to become president. You scratch my belly, I scratch yours.
Isn't that corruption?
Oh, of course. Of course. But who's going to investigate Cuomo? The attorney general is now his very dear cumbadichichis, Letitia James.
But if he should run for president, that's a whole different deal.
Well, he certainly sounded that way.
And then there will be investigation should there be a quid pro quo.
Let's go to Patrice, who's calling from Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Patrice.
Oh, yes. Curtis, long time no, I haven't spoken with you in a long time. But I wanted to ask you, please, why do you think the community board, would not agree with, by Amazon coming in, that the mayor could negotiate wherein Amazon would also help with some of our infrastructure, such as a little more better transportation.
Yeah, well, first off, that hasn't even been requested of Amazon. Secondly, mm-hmm. they already rejected in Long Island City paving over the top of the railroad tracks, which is where all the New Jersey Transit and the Amtrak tracks are in Sunnyside. They would have had huge developments go up. The people said too much congestion, too much traffic. And you know how community boards are.
They'll just
filibuster it. They'll take Amazon to court, and Amazon will use that as an excuse to then go over to Ras Baraka and Newark and other ports of call and shake them down for millions. This is all this is. This is extortion. This is racketeering, except it's in the form of Jeff Bezos.
See, I think they're going to want it in the, I agree, somewhere in the New York area. I mean, I think maybe it ends up in, you're right, maybe it ends up in Newark. Maybe it ends up, I think they're going to want it right around Manhattan, whether it's in it or outside.
I know, but if you're moving traffic, because that's part of what Amazon does. Why would you want to come to the most congested area in America?
Well, that's the thing. And that's why I don't blame some incentives to try to get them, but there should be some You know, if you're the quid pro quo would be you fix this, you do this, you do this.
Yeah, but they don't have to be here. You see, they're acting as if they're doing us the favor. So they're basically saying, well, let's see what your bribe is.
Absolutely.
Compare it to other bribes.
But how every company, every big company kind of does that. Yeah, you know that.
The economy
happens all the time.
We don't need that. We don't need Amazon here. The economy is booming.
I would love Amazon if they could fix the railways and do other things.
But they're not. Let's go to Jen in Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hi, Curtis. Hi, Rita. I was suggesting maybe the bridge that used to be the Tappan Zee that is now the Mario Cuomo Bridge should be changed to the Amazon Bridge.
Oh, that's nice. That I think they would pay for.
Wow, no, that would be interesting if Jeff Bezos looks at Andrew Cuomo and says, look, Newtown Creek, come on, that's low budget. How about you change the name of your father on the bridge, you just put it there, to Amazon Bridge, and you know something? Cuomo would sell his father Mario down the river in a heartbeat.
You think so?
Because he'd be getting political contributions from Jeff Bezos.
That, I don't know. I think he'd have to think about that because it was so publicized. That's an Italian disgrazia, as you describe it, my
Andrew
friend.
Andrew has no soul.
But that would be that's an ego thing. Don't you think that at that moment?
No, because he'll say what Chris Cuomo, his pretty boy brother, said with the muscle between both ears, who has his show on CNN. You know, Pop would never like that, which is true. Mario would not have liked his name being put on the Tappan Zee Bridge.
So then he'll say, in hindsight, I've thought about it.
So I'm renaming.
Oh, I see where you're going.
I'm renaming the Queensborough Tunnel, right? The Queensbridge Tunnel. Queensborough Tunnel. I'm renaming it the Mario Cuomo Tunnel because I control that through the MTA, the money-taking agency.
But see, you know, it's like the mafia family. Like, you can't, the pride and the ego, you got to make sure that that's not dampered with
Trust
either,
me,
you know?
It's all about the scatter, the moolah schmoolah when it comes to Andrew Cuomo. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. So Jeff Bezos and Amazon were going to open up a new headquarters in addition to their international headquarters in Seattle, somewhere in America. Now they've opted to say, hey, we're getting bribed by so many communities. Let's actually open up two additional ones. And one of them would be in Long Island City, where Governor Cuomo has already promised millions of dollars in subsidies. Let's go to Chris, who's calling from Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Chris? Yes, hello, Chris.
Hey, hi. Why don't we just go all the way and, you know, rename the George Washington Bridge the Amazon Bridge?
Well, the problem there is you'd have two pigs. It's the Port Authority that runs the George Washington Bridge. So the monies, the subsidies would have to be offered up by Murphy, half in the bag, Murphy in Jersey, and Cuomo in New York. And both of them would sell their states out in a heartbeat to Amazon. No doubt about that.
I think we want to keep the George Washington Bridge. The other ones may be up for grabs, though.
No, but think about it. If it was, it'd be called the Am instead of the George. And every day on the radio, they'd say, oh, geez, stay away from the Amazon. I mean, the Amazon's backed up 45 minutes in both directions.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. It'd come back to bite them. That's actually a great. See, you heard my choice. I said the Amazono. I think you call it the Amazono Bridge.
Let's go to John in Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby. John.
Hey, Rita. Hey, Curtis. How you guys doing?
Good. What do you think, John?
Yeah, I was watching Tucker Carlson not too long ago, and they were talking about the Amazon employees. They were living in their cars, man. If that's the case, we don't really need them. If that's the case, their rents are going to go sky high. People are going to be living in their cars. That's crazy.
Well, John, the unions will be opposed to this, and they support Cuomo. So you say to yourself, why is Cuomo bending over backwards to Amazon, which pays barely subsistent wages? Could it be the politics? We know Bezos is heavily a liberal and supports a lot of liberal causes and politicians, whereas the Walton family of Walmart, which is not permitted to have an operation in New York City, which is mind-boggling, they don't contribute to the Democratic cause or the liberal causes, so they are blocked out.
Yeah, there's a lot of ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching. But, by the way, Amazon has had to raise some of its rates because there was so much public pressure on Bezos and others when it came out that they were paying them such cheapo prices.
Right.
So they were forced. But it wasn't they did it on their own.
But if they set up in Long Island City 25,000 workers, as they say, and I realize they were at all different pay scales, but those that are at the lowest pay scale, will they be paid a living wage? as the city council demands that Walmart do? Or Walmart, you're not wanted to in the five boroughs? Yet they'll make the exception for Amazon, I guarantee you, but not for Walmart.
Well, that's why if it turns out that there is a major quid pro quo and all that stuff, all these other companies should be putting the squeeze on too.
Let's go to Peter in Easton, Pennsylvania. Welcome to Curtis and Rita Cosby here on WABC. Peter.
Hi, Pete.
Hey guys, look, I wanted to just throw one thing out there. One little bit of reason in this world gone mad. Amazon needs to be shut down. We need to split them up under antitrust laws. They're a monopoly. They're destroying communities and businesses everywhere. And there's one guy at the top of the pile, and he's got all the money. That guy, he sneezes more money than could change lives in this country. And, you know, I don't know what the hell's going on, but there's too much corruption. And New York and New Jersey, these guys are the most corrupt pieces of garbage, and they're taking their people right down the corporate mouth. And they complain about it like it's somebody else's fault. It's unbelievable.
Well, and listen, I do agree with you, Pete, that Amazon has like become a dictatorship, and everybody's throwing coins to them.
There are so many small businesses that can't compete. Companies all over the United States, little mom and pop shops, you know, places like where it's like you're comfortable to go see the neighborhood proprietor who wants to help you. He's the guy, neighborhood guy. You help his family because he's doing good in business. And you know, everybody's broke because all of the money's going to Amazon. All of these companies are going out of business. Nobody's talking about it.
Peter, you think Jeff Bezos cares about the mom-and-pop shops in Americans?
Nada.
He cares only about one thing, his personal bottom line and the bottom line of his corporation. And if he could take it out of his workers' salaries, he'll do it. And if he could take it from subsidies from suckers like us, he'll do it too. But right now, let's get our news headlines and updates.
Down among Brazilians, coffee beans grow by the billions, so they've got to find those extra cups to fill. They got an awful lot of coffee in Brazil.
It is 2:38 here on 77 WABC, and you're listening to Curtis and Cosby. And Curtis, you can tell I'm just in a great mood today because I am so happy to hear this news. You know, I love my cup of coffee. It's like a second child to kind of have that cup of coffee there. And I like all the different little things. I like the different little flavors. I add a little. I told you I have my little caramel stevia. I have my vanilla stevia some days. I have my butter toffee. And sometimes, you know, you hear these things, okay, well, it increases your heart rate, it increases this, it increases that. I'm one of those people, I could drink a cup of coffee right before I go to bed because I have so much energy. I'm like you. You and I are both fired up with lots of energy. I could drink a cup of coffee and then, you know, sleep well. It's not one of those things that changes. It doesn't, you know, but there are some people that, they are so wired up when they have a cup of coffee, and you understand why some of the studies in the past said it could lead to a heart attack. Well, now there is good news. And it says that a cup of coffee is actually a good thing, that it helps reduce Alzheimer's, Parkinson's. It leads to increase in mental acuity, that you're actually sharper because it gets the blood flow going. And that a lot of this, I think, makes a lot of sense. And I am happy. I am thrilled. And I noticed that you actually read the study because you, for the first time, had a cup of coffee alongside yourself today.
Oh, yeah. And I read this study and I said, are you kidding? It can help reduce the risk of Alzheimer's, which many of us have seen affect our moms and dads, our grandparents. Yep. And we figure, hey, it might be genetic, too. I know it gripped my dad in the latter part of his life. It gripped my grandfather. Likewise, it gripped my mother in the last year of her life. So my feeling is, let me tell you something. I've been years before, a Coca-Cola drinker. I mean, I used to down 68 ounces of Coca-Cola in a three-hour program. And I knew.
Ooh.
I knew what was in Coca-Cola. You know, it has the carbonated water, the sugar, the high fructose corn syrup, the phosphoric acid, the caffeine, the natural flavors. There was nothing natural in Coca-Cola.
Yeah, there's no vitamin nutrients.
And the caramel coloring. I knew what I was ingesting. And it was a recipe for disaster. So then I followed in the footsteps of my father. He never drank coffee. He loved tea. He loved Tetley tea. He loved Lipton tea. He loved all kinds of black tea. So I would drink tea. And today, after reading this study, I'm drinking coffee.
I know. I was. By the way, I was concerned because you are definitely not someone who needs caffeine.
Yeah, but I don't want to
So
be...
I was a little worried about that. I got it. Was it caffeinated or non-caffeinated?
No, it was caffeinated.
Oh, no.
But I think that baby boomers are most intimidated in our generation about the fact that we might be candidates for dementia or Alzheimer's. So I say, drink up that coffee today. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. But just think, it was what, 10 years ago that we were getting the same reports that were saying, you know, if you're drinking coffee, it'll speed up the opportunity for you to get a heart attack or a stroke. It gives you the heebie-jeebies. You're shaking in the middle of the day. You know, it's not good for you. It sets off your nervous system. And now it seems like all the studies are reverse osmosis. I'm wondering if the coffee growers of the world have subsidized these studies. But I see they're not subsidized by the coffee industry. So apparently, if you want to believe it, like I'm wanting you to believe it, it'll ward off Alzheimer's, dementia, and Parkinson's disease.
You know what it also does? It clears out the pipes. Because if you have a lot of coffee, as you'll see, you're like, I got to be right back. I got to go to the bathroom. I think it does also, they say that it's supposed to be also really good for the colon.
So how many cups would you say you average? Just an average amount of cups of coffee in a day that you might drink.
Well, I'm a casual one because I'm one of those, like, I drink it more just to have like a warm liquid kind of a thing. So it might be, I would say 2-3 cups.
By the end of the day,
I mean, there's sometimes I'll have a cup sitting here, but I'll have like a sip or two of it, and it sort of sits there. It's more of a clutch.
I'd be interested in listening to people out there who have 7, 8, or more cups of coffee a day, and what are the effects? Are you wired up? Are you ready to like crash through the roof of your car? Or in fact, do you feel like you're actually feeling better? And that this is a prophylactic of a sort to prevent all these degenerative diseases from embedding themselves into your brain, into your nervous system, all the things that, like you see, if somebody with Parkinson's, you say, oh God.
Yeah, that to me is the scariest.
I wouldn't want to have dementia. I wouldn't want Alzheimer's. So it's sort of like, hey, even if I had to drink Sanka instant coffee, which I remember my uncle Jimmy Scavone used to drink, maybe the worst thing I've ever seen somebody drink, and you told me it could ward off dementia and Alzheimer's, give me the Sanka instant coffee.
I agree. And by the way, I think you're right that dementia and all those things are like the worst, because you can have, you know, great physical health, but if you have the mental disability, you're right. I'd rather take it. But this is a good week, Curtis, because it also came out that another one, that red wine is good. So I'm having a good week. They like my red wine and they like my coffee.
This is not good for the President of the United States, if you believe it isn't fake news, or for my wife, Nancy, because the President loves Diet Coke. He can't stop drinking Diet Coke all day long. And my wife, Nancy, cannot stop drinking Canada Dry Diet Ginger Ale all day long. At times, I have to go to the supermarket and get the large 12-pack. You know, it's sort of like I'm getting a case of beer, like in the old days, for the boys. Oh, no, I got to get a whole case. And Nancy will drink through it like there's no tomorrow. Apparently, though, diet sodas, not only will you not lose weight.
Yeah, they actually put on weight, and they're bad for you.
But
really
it's
bad.
Claiming that it's bad for your liver.
Yes.
You'll end up like Mickey Mantle.
Yeah, they're
They're
saying that. So you make me laugh. They said it's as bad as alcohol. It might be, they are literally comparing, because you know the boozos, the guys who really, I'm not talking about the moderate drinkers.
Yeah. No, like Mickey Mantle,
right, exactly. That combined is just as bad. And I believe that, because if you look what's on the back of diet soda, it's not like coffee where there's some natural
stuff. Let's
quickly
go to the phones. It's Paulie calling from New Jersey. Welcome to WABC, Paulie.
Hi, Paulie.
Hey, guys, how are you? 12 to 14 cups a day.
What? That's how many cups of what? Coffee you drink?
Coffee, yes.
Oh, absolutely. My God.
And the last one I'll have is about 7 o'clock at night, because if, and it's not the problem with staying up, it's a problem with going to the bathroom.
Wait. So why are you drinking that? That's all. See, I like my coffee, Curtis knows, but that's all. You must be wired up for bear, baby.
Yeah, you know what? I'm all right during the day. I actually sometimes nod out because I'm 60 years old now. A little bit later on in the afternoon, I start to get, you know, a little tired. So I'll grab 2 or 3 more cups, but I'm good. But like I said, 12 to 14.
Wow.
That's a lot of coffee. I'm not sure if there's any. It may go past the positive effects.
You know, there's only one chore I perform each day in the house, and that is I get up first.
Is that sleep?
No, I get up first, and I go out and get the first cup of coffee for my wife, Nancy, because without it, she's a crabby crumb cake.
By the way, that my significant other does the same thing, too. I tell Tom, I like the cup. Even if I just have a couple sips, it's like a jolt to wake you up, but like an alarm clock.
1-800-848-WABC.
Fifty-two here on 77 WABC, and joining me and Curtis in the studio, we're just talking about the effects of diet soda and things that we both have given up. And I hear you, Curtis, all the time. You've talked about balance of nature, and we thought, gosh, who are the best experts to talk about giving up things and what we do need to bring back into our system, like fruits and vegetables, and to do it in an amazing, concentrated way? We have with us here in the studio Dr. Douglas Howard, also his awesome wife, the health coach of the group too, Susan Howard, and both of them are founders of Balance of Nature. Great to have you both here with us.
Oh, it's great to be here. And what a great time of year to talk about things you got to give up and things you got to improve. Good. We're just coming to the new year soon.
Yeah, it is perfect timing.
We love New York City. It's always fun to be here. Our favorite crowd.
And awesome. You know, you guys came up with a great idea because we all want to talk about how can we reduce. I was telling you, my mother's a nutritionist. My mother, a nutrition junkie, I should say. She felt like she was a nutritionist. Marathoner, my dad. They always wanted more fruits and vegetables. And you came up, Dr. Howard, with an interesting way to do it.
Yeah, because I couldn't get my patients to eat enough, period. You know, 40 years ago, you're too young to remember that, but you'll remember it.
Oh, Curtis. I remember.
Thank you. By the way, thank you for saying I'm too young. I love
I'm
you
64.
Already.
I'm 64. I
love you already.
But 40 years ago, you know, it was you were supposed to eat 9 to 11 servings of fruits and vegetables. They had signs in the school cafeterias, you are what you eat, 9 to 11. They gave that up and went to the five-a-day slogan. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
Every time you go in the supermarket, it said five-a-day everywhere. You don't see that anymore. The only reason they went to five-a-day slogan wasn't because it was enough, because they couldn't get anybody to even listen to the 9 to 11. And then nobody listened to the five-a-day either, and so they gave up on that. And so now they've gone back to 9 to 11 servings. A serving is the size of your fist. And, you know, think about it yourself. How many servings of fruits and vegetables have you eaten this week? And, you know, we go through this all the time with kids. A kid gets up in the morning. What are they? Not your kids, maybe, but, you know, okay. Average American.
Oh, definitely my kids. They don't have any fruits and vegetables.
What do they eat? Curtis is my child, by the way.
They eat cold cereal, you know, sugar frosted flakes, sugar. Tony the Tiger. It's great. And they're bouncing off the walls.
Okay. Lunch. That school cafeterias even. What are they eating? What's the number
worst.
One meal?
It's the worst.
What do you think the number one meal is?
Mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese. Everybody in New York says that. Number one in the nation, though, is pizza.
Yeah.
Third, I think, is mac and cheese next to hamburger or taco or something. But how many fruits and vegetables?
None. It sort of like prepares you for prison when in the commissary it's honey buns.
Yeah.
You know, that's the design. So anywhere you look, you're inside, you're outside. And I got to say that Dr. Howard, he was the only one who ever was able to influence me when it came to my addiction to drinking Coca-Cola. I've said it often, 68 ounces of Coca-Cola I would drink in one sitting during a program. Another 68 ounces after. He came in, he said, you're going to die. He said, you got to do this and this. When you left the first time, I saluted you by having some Coca-Cola. Get out of here, Doc.
I remember that day.
Right, but the second time, it resonated with me, and I gave up Coca-Cola. I have not had a drop of Coca-Cola since.
And what a blessing to the world you are. We have to protect your health, Curtis.
Now, I don't want to break any. I don't want to break any patient confidences, but it wasn't just the caffeine from that.
No. No, I was chipping away at no dose, too.
Oh, my God. He had it in every direction.
I walked in and I went, oh, crud. Does anybody have anything for CPR here?
But it worked.
Yeah, it worked. And how dangerous is it? Like Curtis is talking, all the diet sodas and all these things, to not have the nutrition that's in Balance of Nature and things like that, to not get the veggies and the fruits is key, right? I mean, that's a big loss if you're putting diet soda that's like a turbocharged.
Yeah, that's even worse. But the key is all of the nutrition, all of the chemicals that you need to run your body are in fruits and vegetables. That's pure and simple. And they're not, you know, people talk about calories in and calories out. That just is really quite bogus, because you have empty calories and you have full calories. And so we just have to go, we have to look in all directions of that.
Dr. Howard, look at an average person. If they actually do follow the requirements, how much time they have to sit and chew the vegetables and the fruit, an inordinate amount of time. It gives you lockjaw.
Yeah.
And you end up sitting on the porcelain palace all day. As opposed to, I've never had that problem with the balance of nature. I take two of each in the morning, the fruits and the veggies, two of each at night. I get more than enough of what I need, and I don't end up with lockjaw. And to be honest with you, my false choppers don't come out. I don't need to put extra poly grip in. I'm good to go.
By the way, I want to thank you both, because I'm glad I'm hosting with him now that he's using balance of nature and not drinking the diet soda.
Hey, man. Yeah.
Thank you, both of you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you, guys.
Dr. Douglas Howard and also Susan Howard, Balance of Nature. Great to have you with us, and great to have a cleaned out Curtis Sliwa by my side.